Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Put a spring in your step and fresh looks in your home, in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Joe at RT.ie. Kate is in Tipperary. Kate, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Yes.
Express my admiration for you in that you allow everybody to have a voice to highlight issues of importance.
And the issue you want to highlight is, Kate?
The fact that a Minister for Education, Norma Foley, mm-hmm. is giving free school books to students, which she announced at Budget 23, but she didn't qualify it by saying that she was excluding students, the cohort of students mm-hmm. that are going to fee-paying schools. Now, I see that as divisive because when everybody was when the actual electricity was being given to people, mm-hmm. it was across the board to everybody. And nobody can say, you know, that in the 210,000 that there aren't very well-off people. And it, as well as that, the situation that pertains is that a lot of people, unfortunately, parents, have to take the step of going to the fee-paying school because the school that is near them mm-hmm. is not suitable. It could be actually oversubscribed or may have perhaps a drug a problem in the school. And they may have to carpool, which is, you know, in a lot of cases, I had a coffee morning this morning and I had people from around the country, okay. Around to different counties. And they were saying, you know, problems arising. Some were absolutely delighted with the whole thing because, you know, they had all the free books and all happening.
Yeah.
And then the others were, another woman was saying that she and her husband were both out working and they were struggling to send two mm-hmm. to school because one was in first year, the other in second year, but they had to have two lots of books.
Okay, and by the way, 51551 is our text number, joe@rt.ie. Just to expand on what you said there, and it's the Minister for Education, Fianna Fáil Minister for Education, in the coalition government, announced that free books for primary sector, that was in Budget 2022, and that affected some 560,000 pupils in primary school and special school. Now, I don't know if they got enough credit for that, because it is a seismic change. And then more recently, they said that the 210,000 students in junior cycle, i.e. fourth, second and third year, will be entitled to free books and e-books under the scheme, which is now being brought in. Now, what she didn't mention is the fact that there will be
30,000.
Yeah, but about 10%, 8% of the second level population.
Well, she mentioned it, Joe. She mentioned it.
Okay. And obviously,
she got no reaction. Irish Times.
Oh, then that's it.
The situation is that people didn't read. People don't know.
Okay,
it.
Kate. What? Given that Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats, the Labour Party, and now it looks like Fianna Fáil, because she's a Fianna Fáil minister, they are all committed to abolishing the monies given to private fee-paying schools, primarily to pay teachers' salaries. And they will pay, the number of teachers they will pay would be smaller than the number of teachers in an equal size public school because the ratio they regard as higher. But they do get the state, the taxpayer, 121 million every year to fee-paying schools. Now, do you think you're going to get any sympathy, Kate?
It's not a matter of sympathy. It's a matter of those that are not in the, you know, that mm-hmm. are really not some of these people that were here this morning. They weren't really in a position, nor did they think that, you know, they would have to send their children to the private schools. But as it went along, I know of the school in particular, and I know a person had a Zoom call with the minister. And she said, you know, she would bus them down to Portacabins, you know, and a school would be built. But that would be too late for one of the mothers that was here this morning.
And you're saying they, they had no choice but to send their child to a fee paying second level.
Exactly, that's right. That's right. And the situation is that, you know, why, how, you know, how did she was, how did she come up with the figure of 210,000 and then segregate and divide, you know, be so divisive and discriminatory to the 30,000 whom she has no idea what means they've got.
Well, she, well, she can't, well, you see,
she can't tell me.
I'm going back to what I was reading this morning about the political parties that do want to abolish the subsidy completely to fee-paying schools. They say if you can pay up to $8,000 a year in fees for a second level, you can afford to pay a few bob extra for books.
Well, that's not the case. That is not the case at all. Because even, you know, it's just not on. She's not in touch with and some schools, you know, some of the private schools don't allow iPads either. They insist on books, you know.
Yeah, but that's,
so it's it's not a matter of affordability. It's a matter of your demographics. It's a matter of where you live and how it is. For instance, my brother has a thriving accountancy business in County Kerry, and his earnings are quite substantial. And they have a post-primary school about 10 minutes away, and their daughter is able to walk to the school. She's going to get free books now. And his wife, I mean, they earn in excess of 300,000. And everything is free.
But the state argument would be, or the political party's argument would be, they are availing of the state system, and the state, the priority for the state is the state system.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not fair. She had a she actually made a blanket approach to the whole issue. There's no means test, and like what happened, I mean, we don't have a means test, thankfully. I mean, we have to have the children's allowance. That's not means tested, because we don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah, good point. And you made the point about the cost of living. Yeah, the cost of living grants were not means tested. There was a call for them to be means tested, but can you imagine? Imagine the bureaucracy there, and everyone got it. But what about, like, people said to go to, say, a boarding school?
Well, I think, yeah, but the boarding schools are nearly being phased out now. But these are, I'm talking about the ordinary day school, and there's no, I'm not saying there's any extra in them, but these other schools that are non-fee paying kind of high standards, and if they were available to, I had 20 people here today. If they were available to 15 of those people, to 10 of those people, they would not be sending their children to fee-paying schools because they can't afford it.
But Kate, did the 15 of the 20 people there today, did they know this was coming in a few weeks?
They were going to
be excluded.
They didn't know. They did not know. Hand on heart, they did not know. And I got a text about 5 days ago, and it was from the Irish Times, and it was the 11th of October 2023. But not everybody reads the Times. They might read the Independent, and that's it. But they took it for granted when the minister announced it. She did not say excluding fee-paying schools. When she made the announcement, she did not openly say, make in her speech, she did not say it is excluding fee-paying schools at all. It's 30,000 children. And I think in this day and age, Joe, when we have our brightest and our best, at the end of their school years, their third level years in college, they're all heading for the airport. And I think that's very sad.
Yeah, but I think that's sad as well. I don't think it's totally true either in terms of all of them. But Kate, what's that got to do with the government deciding that on one hand they announce all pupils up to junior cert, fourth, second, third, will get free books, except, they didn't say it, but Carl O'Brien has it in the Irish Times, those who are going to free-paying schools, they can whistle.
I think that's discrimination.
But where is the uproar?
Well, people people don't even know it. I'd say today is going to be an eye-opener for people, because you've allowed me the opportunity to tell the other people, okay, other parents.
But I just wonder, would you get... I'm just wondering about the sympathy factor, because every, as I said, there's at least three main political parties totally, every time they get the chance, the opportunity to say we're going to abolish, it seems to be the answer to all the country's problems, abolish payments to fee-paying schools. Danny Tiernan, Danny is in Roscommon. 0818 715 815. Your point, please, Danny. Were you aware of this, Danny, that the free school, the free second level school books will be for everybody except those not going to, those going to fee-paying?
No, not until recently. Not until very recently.
And what do you think?
When she announced, I think it's discrimination. I think it's unfair. It's totally unfair. The parents of the fee-paying school kids are paying their taxes the same as everybody else. And I think kids are entitled to not be discriminated against. Yeah. Equality for everyone.
To give the other side. The other side would argue that the inequality begins, the discrimination begins by the parents deciding to send the child to a fee-paying school, and that's positive discrimination. Now, I don't think the figures are as stark as they used to be about who gets into third level, but they used to be very stark for fee-paying schools. When that recent study about the judiciary in Ireland, I think it discovered something like 84% of the judiciary are from were educated in private second-level schools. So it does give you an advantage, Danny.
It gives the parents an advantage.
No,
it gives the pupils an advantage.
Does, yes. I agree with you. It does give them an advantage, but that advantage is coming from the parents who have to pay, because maybe the non-fee paying school is too far away. Maybe they have no choice but to pay it. And nowadays, when mother and fathers have to go out to work.
Yeah, but that recent study, there was a recent, just about advantage, there was a recent study by, I think it's Michael O'Connell in UCD, and one of his arguments was that the advantage in terms of education for a child begins in the home. Begins long before they get to primary, long before they get to second level, because of some people are lucky enough to be born into a home where both parents went to third level education or whatever. So the advantage begins there, according to. But it is, and then the argument, obviously, these political parties put forward is the arguments are that the advantage is compounded. And there, obviously, Fianna Fáil agree, because they've said, now we will discriminate against children in our young teenagers in second level up to primary level. Yvonne, Joe at RT.ie. Yvonne, you're listening to Danny and Kate. Your point, please.
Hi, Joe. Well, I suppose I agree with I feel that I'm a taxpayer, and I feel that, that I should be equally entitled to this tax break. I was forced to send my daughter to a private school. I applied for a secondary school, the local secondary school, when she was like 2 months old. Okay. She did not get a place at 12. The secondary school that I applied for, the school of boys, I suppose, was, I know that the priority for those kids is, past pupils who may not even be living in the area where the children are allowed to attend. So there's several types of kids who are given priority to access to that particular school. And as a result, I was just not given a place. And I know for a fact there's kids being bussed into that school, taxied into that school from way out of the area. And as a result, if I wanted my child to go to a local school, I had to go private. It's a huge sacrifice, Joe. Don't make no mistake about it. It's a huge sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice I had to make. I had no choice.
So you could have done with this positive, i.e. the free, that the vast 90% of your daughter's age group will be getting, because they're going to state schools.
I mean, I pay my taxes just like all the other parents who get a non-paying fee place. Why am I being discriminated against? I'm discriminated against, one, because I couldn't get her into a public school, and two, because of the book.
And the same
thing. This whole fiasco whereby the kids, even if the school that she was in went public in the morning, I don't believe it would continue as a public school. The land that it's on is worth an absolute fortune. I think the owners of the school would just say, let's get planning permission and build a block flats, get 40 million, 50 million, whatever it would be worth. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that area, but certainly I know other schools in the area have sold off tracts of land. And like I'm based in Dublin, obviously, so tracts of land and have made like playing pitches that have all gone.
Are you saying this is private school, Devon? Hang on a sec, Danny. This is private school, Devon, selling off tracts of land.
But all the land of the school, the public school, is owned by religious.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, like the primary school, for example, where my daughter went, was not a fee-paying school. The nuns long vacated the property. It was handed over to management, they're all the same now, all the school management groups.
But what is the sting of your point about, for example, where the school I went to, De La Salle in Ballyfermot, okay, it's massive, probably one of the biggest schools in Europe at the time. Okay, that was run by the De La Salle, owned by the De La Salle manager. I presume they got the land. It's a massive tract of land. I presume they got the land off the state, which is your point. But the De La Salle Order now have sold that school. And I don't know where the money has gone, because I don't think the De La Salle Order exists. They're based in France.
But they're building now, just
to tell you, your point is true, because they're now building on that site, which must have been worth 30, 40 million euro. Whoever sold it, the De La Salle Order, I presume, unless they tell me differently, they got 30 or 40 million. But that money, I presume, has gone to France, even though the land was ours to begin with. But that can happen in public schools and private schools.
A lot of the schools now are managed by these management groups. I can't think of the name of them off the top of my head. But, for example, my daughter's primary school was a nun-run school. The nuns were long out of the place. But the ownership of the school was transferred into a management group still owned by religious. I don't know who, I'm speculating here, but probably by the Dublin Diocese or some group like that. Probably similar to what happened in De La Salle in your school, Joe.
Yeah.
So, this is what's happening. The land bank.
Now, Yvonne, just going back to
the schools are built and built. The school, my daughter's primary school was built, rebuilt by the state, paid for the state, but the land on which it was built is still owned by the religious.
But you're saying, I don't want the name of the school. But what public? You're saying your daughter could not get into a public school?
Correct.
But it's in the Bunrock Nahair in the constitution. You're entitled to education.
Yeah, but Joe, I probably would have got a school out in the sticks somewhere. You ask any parent in the Dublin area,
and
Yvonne,
when you told your friends that your daughter was going to a fee-paying private school, what was their reaction?
Well, I think some of them are in the same boat as myself.
Okay. But I'm just wondering, what sympathy will you get? Because, as I said, Sinn Féin, which is the biggest opposition party, the biggest single party, the Labour Party have been going on about this for years. And now the Social Democrats are on board. They want to abolish a penny. You won't get a red Rex if they're in government.
I have no doubt that if Sinn Féin come on board, they will remove any support for private schools. And I think that would be a huge mistake, because where are all these kids going to go? There is insufficient public school places for children.
So what they're saying is that the private schools will then have the option to as they had in 1967 when Donal O'Malley introduced that earthquake of a positive change, the private schools would have an option to go into the public sector. Now, that will cost even more, but that they will have the option. Sharon, you're listening to Kate, Danny and Yvonne. Your point, please, Sharon.
Hello, Joe.
Yvonne, thanks. Sharon.
Hello, Joe. My point is, I don't think private schools should be paid any money out of the public coffers.
Okay.
For school books, Rathmel. At the end of the day, private schools do have a lot more facilities than what ordinary schools have. Sporting-wise, education-wise, every way. to have more facilities than what the ordinary schools have.
Okay.
Plus, it is a parent's choice to send a child to a private school. That lady there said that.
Kate, yeah.
About the distance you might have to travel to a school
Yvonne,
in the sticks.
Yeah.
A school in the sticks.
Yeah.
Well, an awful lot of parents have no choice only to send their children to a school in the sticks because they can't afford private school.
So okay.
The choice, she made the choice to actually send her child to a private school rather, as she said, to a school in the sticks, which a lot of schools in the sticks are very good schools.
Danny,
and the children are very well educated in these schools and they're not private schools.
My God.
Well, who's saying my God? Kate?
I am.
Yeah, why?
Because there was no alternative. When there's no alternative, if the other school, I'm speaking the same as the other lady, it's Kildare. Mm. And the situation is that the public school oversubscribed. And what do you do then?
Well, Sharon's point.
You
do, well, no, hang
you
on,
don't
Sharon.
Have an alternative.
No, my point was that he said just one. The lady there said her alternative was to send her child to school in the sticks. But it's her choice to send her either to school in the sticks or a private school. She chose a private school, so that was completely 100% her choice.
But she was saying the distance that she would have to go. And that was unattainable.
You're saying you're making sacrifices. The ordinary person out there is making sacrifices by sending their child to a school in the sticks because that's the only school they can send them to. Because they can't afford private school.
But neither can the others. But they don't have an alternative.
Well,
they have to work. They have to afford it because
like in my house, two parents work. Like in our house, two parents have worked.
Mm-hmm.
But we still couldn't afford a private school, so we had to send our children. We sent our four children to public schools. Our four children got on absolutely fantastic. They're out working in the working world today, paying their taxes. And why should they be paying their taxes for other children to be getting free school books in private schools that you can afford to pay for?
Well, my very point is that you can get very, very good public schools, and that's absolutely wonderful. But when they're not there and you can't...
But sure, they are there.
The schools are there.
Well, I live in Kildare. The first lady who came on said that, the local school could have a drug problem. I mean, that was an absolute disgraceful thing to say. So a private school wouldn't have a drug problem, but the local school down the road could have. Any school could have issues. But Kate, one of her points of sending the child for private school was, because the local school could have a drug problem. That was disgraceful thing to say.
Oversubscribed.
Disgraceful.
But Kate, what do you think of Sharon's point that private schools invariably... And I think this came up, the last time it came up was in the Hockey World Cup, wasn't it? Private schools invariably have better facilities, Kate, than public schools.
No, I don't agree because there's a school down in Kerry and my niece is going to that school and the standard of education is absolutely wonderful. And most of the public schools have the very same standards as the private schools.
Their education standards aren't very good. Their actual extracurriculum standards aren't the same.
Facilities can be got outside of the school. And the parents here this morning would by far prefer to do it that way than to have to go out to work. And if they have to have the children sent down to maybe Nice or somewhere like that, I don't know the areas that the minister was suggesting, that porta cabins built and have them bused down there, they would have to have somebody to collect the children because they wouldn't be back from work themselves. And to be even more confident.
Okay.
When there is no alternative, the minister should not be divisive and she should not make a distinction between children. These are children. These are all children. Everybody's paying
their
taxes. Everybody's working hard.
Yeah, I'll try and find this out. There are fee-paying primary schools. Were they included or excluded from the free book scheme. I ask a parent that where fee-paying primary schools included or excluded from the free books scheme introduced
I have no
2 years.
Idea.
No,
it's a question
I'm asking. Okay, stay with us. Joe at rt.ie 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The government have announced free second level books for up to junior cert in all second level schools. 210,000 students except the 50 fee-paying schools in the country, which would be around 25,000-26,000. They are excluded because they are fee-paying schools. Brian, your point, please. Brian.
Joe, hi. Good afternoon to you. 2 points, Joe, I think are very important to this. One, under the Constitution, any parent is entitled to bring up the child in the religion of their choice. I happen to be Church of Ireland. My son is Church of Ireland.
Okay.
We did enroll him. We did try and enroll him in the two national schools, public schools, mm-hmm. where he lived with his mum.
Okay.
And none of them, because his primary school was between both. It was North County Dublin. I'm not going to say where, but the two secondary schools were between. Were either end of the village that he was in where he went to primary school. And he hadn't got a sibling there, and we were outside of the catchment area, if you want to say. And we were number 96 on one list, and we were number 78 on the other list. We then went to other secondary schools in the area, and they said, no, you're outside the catchment area. Now, this is 4 years ago. He's in TY at the moment. So it's just a point I'm trying to make to the people.
Okay.
And eventually, we tried to get him into a Church of Ireland school, and we did. And we got him into one 70 miles away.
Good God. Okay.
Now, under the Constitution, I'm entitled to bring up my child in Church of Ireland if I want to. Unfortunately, Church of Ireland, Presbyterian, Methodist, Quaker, whatever you are, these are all fee-paying schools. You have no option. They are fee-paying schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things are changing because we're getting new schools coming up that are across all religions.
Yeah, educate together,
So, educate together, correct. So, all I'm saying to you is that is the reason, and I think this announcement, I only learned on your show 10, 15 minutes ago, it is grossly unfair. Because not only do non-Catholic people go to private schools, most private schools are full with Catholic people and Catholic children. And also, there are lots of Catholic private schools, Congo's, Black Rock College, Rockwell, mm-hmm. all of those ones. And I just think it's grossly unfair. It is discrimination against people who most of them have no option but to send their children to a fee-paying school. That's the point I was just going to make.
And you were completely unaware of this?
Completely. I only learned it 10 minutes ago.
Now, my understanding, up to recently at least, that given that scenario that you painted, Brian, which is true, that if you want to educate your children in particular religions, i.e. Church of Ireland, the options are limited. But
right.
I thought the state, obviously they don't pay the fees, but the state gave a slightly, it's only slightly, bigger subsidy, i.e. paying for teachers, to Church of Ireland fee-paying than to Roman Catholic fee-paying. Maybe I'm wrong, am I?
I don't know, Joe. I'm not sure about that.
But as you say, you are aware.
The state does contribute to fee-paying schools. I do know that.
Oh, of course they do. They contribute the teacher salaries up to a certain teacher pupil ratio. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's 121 million a year.
Right. Okay. You know more than I do.
But I'm just reading from that. But Brian, the argument there is, well, it's discrimination. It's positive discrimination to be able
Absolutely.
To send your child to a.
Yes. Yeah, but that's my prerogative to send my child to a Church of Ireland school. People can criticise me for it, people can say
no,
I agree with you, but that's my prerogative. I'm entitled to do that.
Okay, what do you think of which was Kate's initial point, and I'll come back to Sharon in a second. Kate's initial point was I'm paraphrasing you now, Kate, bear with me. There's a whiff off it, there's a smell off it, because you're discriminating against 8% of that age group between 12 and 16, who'll now be getting free books. There'll be 7 or 8% who will not be getting them. And the reason they're not getting them is that their parents paid to send them to a private school. What do you think of the discrimination argument that will hold up?
I think it should hold up. I think it is discriminatory, because I certainly can't afford the well, I can't afford, obviously. I'm retired myself, but the fees in a private school, they are quite large in some of the schools. Luckily, my school, my son's school, isn't that large, one of the cheaper ones. But it's still a struggle. But it's what I want, and we both want, for our son. And therefore, we make the contribution, and we make the effort. We, you know, I'm still working. I'm over 70 years of age. I'm still working to put my son through two more years in school before he goes to college, hopefully. And so I'm out working still. At 74 years of age.
Okay, Brian, okay, Brian, stay with us. Leslie Bourne, your point, please. Leslie.
Hi. Yeah, I was worked in a fee-paying school for 10 years, and I'm now currently principal in a DESH school. So I can see this argument from both sides. But I think what has to be really remembered is that when parents chose to pay fees for their children to go to second-level school, or indeed primary-level school, they weren't choosing equality at that point. Equality was not what their defining mission was for sending their child to that fee-paying school and spending the money. So I think pulling out the equality card now is a little bit rich, pardon the pun. And you know,
what was their choice then? If you say they weren't choosing, what were they choosing?
They are choosing to put their children into a certain environment, to be friends with certain people, to have a certain amount of co-curricular. Rugby, for example, would be a huge choice where some parents might make a particular school. Or they want to continue on handing down, I guess, a social mobility from one family to the next, parents, grandparents, all of that.
But that happens anyway, Leslie. That happens anyway. I'm sorry.
It does happen anyway, Joe. But the difference is that the state shouldn't be providing and facilitating that to happen. So whatever way parents choose to spend their money is absolutely fine. You can send them away to France. You can pay music lessons. I wouldn't condone any parent for wanting to do that for their child. But the state should not be facilitating inequality. And at the end of the day, these arguments always come up when it's privileged, advantaged children that are feeling some level of injustice. Whereas what we have at the other end of the scale is kids who are really struggling to finish school, who can't get the places, can't get the assessments they need. Schools are so badly resourced, and these kids are not finishing school.
Is it not fair to say that DESH schools get extra resources? Rightly
we
so.
Some extra resources, Joe. Tell us,
do you get hot food, hot meals?
We get hot meals, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant advantage. The DESH school I know, I won't name the DESH school I know, but it is absolutely fantastic. It is a joy to visit it.
They are absolutely incredible and amazing what they do. But I can tell you from first-hand experience, the difference in the level of experience, of money, of things that are available in DESH in private level, people don't even realise unless you've been in both, actually, is probably the reality. There'd be more uproar, I think, if people actually realise.
Did you hate your 10 years in private school?
No, I didn't hate it. I learned an awful lot. I taught some of the most amazing students. I met lovely families. I learned a lot. But my own personal values were... What was basically what made the move for me in the end was that every child in this state should be treated equally by the state.
And every child should be educated to the highest standard. Not the lowest standard, the highest standard.
The answer I give you to that is what standards are you measuring? So if you're talking about CAO points and exam results, off you go. That's the highest standard. But if you're talking about society and democratic values, that's different.
Yeah, but I presume you cannot make every household equal, Leslie.
No, we're not.
Unfortunately, whether you like it or I like it, it's the household where it begins. That's why the DESH schools are so fantastically brilliant. Brian, what about Leslie's point? You didn't choose equality when you were picking the private school, but you've suddenly discovered now.
What we tried to do was we tried to get them into the local DESH school. There's one DESH school, not 4 miles from where he lives. But it was outside that we didn't fit the criteria. And we were 93rd on the list. So immediately started. This was when he was probably in third or fourth year in primary school. So it wasn't that we'd left it to the last minute or anything like that. And then we went to the next village the other way, the next town, should I say, the other way. And we tried to enroll him there in the community college. And it said, no, you're not in the catchment area. And he's no siblings here. And at that stage, then we had to move on. So I would have no problem in sending him to the local Desh school or whatever if we had got in. But we didn't. We were just refused. Nothing to do with our religion. It's to do with we didn't fit the criteria, the enrollment criteria. And that's why we had to go elsewhere. And it just happened that in our search, we had to go about 10 or 15 miles. The next option was to go into Dublin, because we were way up in North Dublin. Mm. And to go into town, the trains didn't suit because the commuter line from Drogheda is not great. And, we said, right, to hell with it. Let's have another look at what can we afford. And then the idea of him, I will admit, the idea of him staying in school to do his work after school under supervision, because mum works as well. She works long hours. Mm-hmm. I was working. And we thought maybe this is, we were thinking of him and thinking this is for him. And he actually loves it. He's delighted with it. And he certainly doesn't feel entitled in any way, because his best friend who goes to school, who actually lives not far away from us, they played the local GAA club together, and his father is actually I think he's a carpenter. So it's nothing to do with privilege. It's to do with providing the best for your child and having to take advantage of the circumstances that you find yourself in.
Okay.
So I disagree the fact that we tried to send him to the local secondary school, but just didn't. We weren't accepted.
So, okay, Leslie, where are you? What part of the country are you principal in?
In Crumlin, Dublin, okay. Clare Road Community College.
So, unless you're a different, but you're the Social Democrat candidate.
I am indeed for Clannish and Kill. Yeah.
And why didn't you tell us that?
Well, because I wasn't going.
Because the election is coming up in 6 weeks. I've got to be fair. You know, so I'm only asking people to be fair, Leslie. You are a candidate in the upcoming local elections.
Well, actually, that's why I didn't name it, because I thought that would be unfair, actually.
How people would dare you. While Brian was talking there, and apologies, Brian, I looked up your name, and up it came. Leslie Bourne, Social Democrat candidate. Come on. Now, that doesn't negate your views, but just I'm asking people to tell us.
I've 20 years of education experience.
Yeah, I know, I take that. But it is Social Democrat policies for which you're running. I don't know, are you a first-time candidate?
It's my first time running in the local election.
Best of luck, and it's a great public service. But you are running for the Social Democrats in a few weeks' time. And am I right thinking it's Social Democratic policy to abolish...
Free education and access for all, Leslie,
put on your Social Democrat hat just for a sec. Right?
Okay,
is it not, because you're retweeting Gary Gannon, I see, rightly so, that's your colleague, left, right and centre. Is it the Social Democrat policy, the party which you're standing as a candidate for, that all payments, all state payments to private schools should be abolished?
Democrat policy that there will be ensure students of all ages have equal access to the education they're entitled to from early years to long.
Gary Gannon has said, who's probably your one of your most in terms of respected, everyone's respected, but he's out there a lot, rightly so. Gary Gannon, who I understood was a Social Democrat spokesperson on education, Gary Gannon said that there should be no public money going to private second level schools. Do you, as a Social Democrat candidate, which you're now saying you are, after I asked you, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. Yes, I believe the state should start. Equality should be the starting point and not the end point for the state.
Stay with it. Maura in Drogheda, Maura, your point. You've taught in both schools as well. Both types of schools.
Indeed. In both sectors, and I was enraged actually into making this call, because there's a lot of begrudgery, there's a lot of lack of information coming through with people's frustrations on both sides. Politics, as I wasn't listening for part of the programme, obviously, when I made the phone call, etc.
Okay.
And according to your rules of please turn off your phone or whatever, yeah, or your radio, I missed quite a bit. But I did hear that last person. And there are a few things that, if we are talking about equality, first thing, the state, like in other departments like health, etc., the state has never, ever been in a position to provide equality to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that some children are born into more privileged backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
The state can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the state does act. When Donogh O'Malley came about, the Education Act at the time was in a desperate state because of, as you said, the imminence of it after he opened his mouth, and thank him for it. But he put the government in a situation where they could not provide schools. Statistically, at the time, we had the least percentage of state schools on the planet. Of any country on the planet.
Mm.
And they started then to build the community schools, comprehensive schools at first. They changed the name to community schools because they couldn't afford to give the payments, extra payments to teachers that got it in comprehensive schools. There's a whole history here, Joe, that goes through this. But they've always been backtracking as to how they can manage. And here we go again with this. But hey-ho, they tried to see mm-hmm. if they could stop fee-paying schools having the teachers paid the majority of their salary by the state. And they failed constitutionally. There's no point in you or I discussing mm-hmm. this as we're not lawyers. But it fails constitutionally. This now is questionable whether it's constitutional to provide certain children with books and others without. I can tell you from my school experience in the free education I was privileged to be in my opinion and the opinions of others, including past educational correspondents of the Irish Times, in the best school in the country. And I was privileged to work there. We worked our asses off in a free education system to try to give as much extras as we could to the children. It became one of the first dash.
But what? But what about? No, I just want to put you clearly.
Yeah.
Leslie Bourne's point. She's a principal in Desh School, Clara.
Yeah.
In
Crumlin, yeah.
And
yeah.
As you said, she's also a social democrat.
I know it. Yeah.
Which is great public service.
Yeah.
Her point was parents in fee-paying schools didn't choose equality when they were picking private schools. So they can go, they can whistle for it now because suddenly they're discovering inequality more.
Well, you see, this I would, and I don't mean to insult the woman, I don't know her, but I would consider this to be begrudgery. You've got to appreciate that fee education, as I was saying earlier, the act that came about after Donogh O'Malley appealed to private schools that if they would give up their status as private schools and go into the free education system, that would oblige the school very greatly. And so many schools did. And that's why you have this dilemma where the land is owned by the order.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were obliging the state by going into free education. Okay? Now, they went into that free education system. Some schools couldn't do it because constitutionally every citizen of this state is entitled to the education of the child according to the ethos of the family. So the state could not put in secondary free education schools for non-Roman Catholics right mm-hmm. around the country. So those schools were particularly asked, could they please go free education? And a deal was made that the people, parents of children who went to those schools who could afford the fees, would pay the fees. And parents who could not afford the fees would get free education in the same school because okay. the state couldn't
well,
provide
it comes,
otherwise.
It comes back to your argument that people should be taxed on their income. Not their spending. In other words, if you're a higher income, what does happen here anyway, according to the OECD, higher income, higher taxes. Leslie, but Maura said that you're guilty of begrudgery. And Maura also, really, she also taught in private and public.
Yeah.
Like
okay, well, Moira is very entitled to her opinion. Listen, I'm absolutely not. I want the best for all children, but I really, really do feel that it's time in this country that we centred the most vulnerable and the most marginalised children, and they are not the ones that are sitting in private schools, no matter what the reason around. And I will take on point support of sometimes for religious reasons.
Excuse me, may I just say, Leslie,
you're making
an assumption there, Leslie.
No.
What is the assumption?
Okay.
What is the assumption?
The assumption is that the most disadvantaged children in the country are not in private schools. You know, the chances are they're not, but, you know, there are some of them that are not advantaged.
Well, do you know what I'll do? I'll draw on my 4 years of PhD research on that to maybe answer that one. The markers for being one of the most vulnerable children in the state is that you are unlikely to complete school, that perhaps you don't have parents who complete second level education. And those children are, for the vast majority, found in debt or in areas where the school might be debt, but there's a lot of socioeconomic disadvantage. They are not, for the vast majority, they are not statistically in the demographics that do attend fee-paying school. And I think to suggest otherwise would be a little bit disingenuous. But listen, parents have different levels of money. I don't have an issue with that. That's how the world works.
But surely, Leslie, people should be taxed on their income rather than the number of children they have or where they want to send their children to school.
Indeed.
Yes, so listen, it depends on how you look at it.
That's the beginning and end of it, Leslie.
It's a tax issue, I would think. Well, so, it might be the beginning and end of it towards you, as where your regard coming from, but it's not for me. I think, and you spoke about the wonderful thing that Son O'Malley did, that opened up education for so many people that couldn't afford it. Why would we stop there and accept the status quo? Why would we not continue to fight for progress? Why would we, rather than applauding ourselves at the back for like the top PISA results, would we not look at the other end of the spectrum and say, let's do all we can to ensure every child has an opportunity to flourish?
But surely, Leslie, I know we'll never get there in terms of results.
Yeah.
But surely, more so than when I was going to Mary Queen or to Palmerston School because there was no room in the school in Ballyfermot, but the Desh School. Surely that they are rightly so taking us on the road of saying education can make a difference. It's not 100% by any stretch. It's the home. But education can begin to chop down the generational difference. And that's why there has been a lot of emphasis from all political parties, Fianna Gael, Fianna Fáil, Labour, whatever, the Greens, on Desh schools. That they are a beacon. Now, I know they don't have enough resources, but they are a beacon.
So, they are, right? Or that's the intention of them. Unfortunately, both DESH, huge pieces of results that have been done by ERSI, both pieces of those results, so that they're not narrowing the gap. Okay, that's the reality of it. It's not narrowing the gap. It's, yes, providing resources, but we're
but
still
Leslie,
saying...
But Leslie, I come from a boring old Joe going on about it. I come from Ballyfermot. When I went to third level after going off working for 4 years and suddenly discovering there was a thing called third level, because we were not told about it in second level, I can tell you. I went to third level. There was three students, I can name them, three students. There's three from Ballyfermot in Trinity College at the time, at the end of our bus route. I went up to now St. John's College is changing. But the number continuing and going on to further education, St. John's College is up close to 40% now, which is incredibly good. Not enough, but incredibly good. So you're telling me there's no change?
So actually, do you know what
you're
right?
I even know from my own meeting people who come up to me, there is change. It's not enough, and it's not quick enough.
What I said was it's not narrowing the gap. So you will see that change. That exact change is actually at all levels of society.
Yeah,
so there's been that increase across all levels. So it's the narrowing of the gap.
Oh, no, hang on. Leslie, just to make... I'll let you in a sec, Mara. Just to clarify this point. So what you're saying is that Desh schools do, in the long run, do encourage and facilitate and help people stay in education longer. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. But what you're saying is the gap. What's the gap?
So if we look at, for example, the percentage of people in the time that you're talking about from different schools that might have went to university, okay, and the amount that from a DESH school, let's say, that might have went, so the equivalent in the time, okay, they have all increased. So it's increased across the board, okay? So what we're still seeing is that the lowest amount of students are still coming from DESH schools. And the problem with that, the reason for that, Joe, is simply because the CAO is the marker of what success is. And that system suits a very particular type of student, a very particular type of household.
You
have the financial support to provide grind, to get extra tuition, to go on holidays to Gaeltacht. When you have all of that, you can financially pay your way to the CAO. That is not an option that's available to all of the students. So, you know what? In this instance, I think let's ensure that those resources are going to exactly where they need to be. Those kids are getting
So take the resources, as which is the Social Democrat policy. Take the resources off the fee paying schools, i.e., the teacher salaries. Let the schools pay the teacher salaries, not the state, and give that money, the 121 million, to DESH schools or whatever. Is that your argument?
Well, if you gave me 30 seconds to be idealistic, I'd actually love that no education could be paid for, because actually what we don't want happening is to see loads of private fee-paying grind skills to really thrive in that environment, that market.
But I know.
You don't pay for education. But I'm saying,
as we stand now, it is the policy of your political party to take the money that's given, the taxpayers' money, and of 121 million that's given to the 40 or so private schools, to take that off them and give it to DESH schools or whatever.
Well, I watched one of my heroes that private schools do perpetuate inequality and privilege in society. And we all know that. So, yes, I would fully support that we would move towards having free.
Okay, so I know, but you're saying in the meantime, we are where we are. Take the 121 million a year from the private schools and put it back into the public education sector.
Well, would it be great for those people?
No,
who've
I just
been
any chance. You know, Leslie, you're not a politician yet. Try and give me a straight answer. I'm asking you.
I'm more than happy to say yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
A long statement from Department of Education. They're welcome to come on anytime. Please. Programme for government, address the cost of education, the free school book scheme, funding provided to the schools by the department, by the taxpayer, is specifically allocated to the provision of free school bus workbooks to recognise primary school, this was the primary school pupils, in the free education scheme, including special schools. So in other words, fee-paying primary schools did not get the free primary books. And this is part of the overall general resources. I hope I haven't been unfair to them in that statement. There are 100 DESH schools, by the way, and that's where these things were piloted, and apparently it worked in DESH schools. There's 500. We're talking about, this statement is totally about primary. We're talking about second level. Valerie, your point, please, Valerie.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Joe, the cost of sending a child to private school here in Ireland can range anything from 4,000 to 10,000 per annum, and even more per child. Now, a lot of people can't afford to do that here in Ireland, and I actually find that it beggars belief that the parents of these children have a problem, that, you know, people that actually need the support are actually getting the support with regard to free books.
Okay.
I mean, honest to God, I just can't get over the fact that there would be even an issue about this. Maybe a better system could have been in place where the whole scheme was means tested. Mm-hmm. And I know that when my own two sons were going to school and there was a 3-year age gap between them, I often felt that there was an issue that they changed the books every couple of years, that you couldn't pass down the books to the child coming up, you know, before them or ahead of them. So that was an issue going to school, but you know, it's just there's so many people that are on very big incomes and they want everything for free. Society isn't equal in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. It possibly could be, it should be equal, but it's not the case, and there is the haves and the have-nots.
Okay, stay with us, Valerie.
We have to support people in need.
Well, let me put that to Katrina Morphy's in Kildare. Katrina, Valerie has just said people on considerable means, that was the phrase, should not be expecting another, I'm paraphrasing, another handout from the government when it comes to education. Yeah, if you're sending your children to private second level or indeed private primary level, it means you have got the money to do so. So why are you looking for free books? I'm paraphrasing.
Okay, hiya, Joe.
Hiya,
Joe. First of all, I don't think that's the scenario. I don't think that's the scenario. I don't think people who are very, very well paid are looking for free books. But my argument would be that as a child, my daughter is going to be starting in a private school next September. I'm actually a teacher in that school and have been for 22 years. So just 2 points. The first point is that, as everyone knows, every child in Ireland, when you are born, you have there's a constitution there that says that the child has a right to an education, which is so important. We also have in Ireland, we're very lucky that we have an allowance. So when your child is up to the age of 18, every child in Ireland, there is a children's allowance. It is not means tested. Yeah, now, there are lots of people that agree, I think that it should be means tested, and maybe it should, but that's the way it is. So I want to know, why does Minister Foley feel now, at this point, now that she's going to discriminate against children in Ireland? So she's going to break it down and that distinguish them between private and public schools.
Well, to paraphrase Katrina,
to
paraphrase our caller so far, their argument is those children in those schools have been discriminated against, it's discriminated for positively, obviously, and now to try and balance it up, we're going to discriminate against them by not giving them the free books in second level.
Okay,
that, to me, seems to be the logic of our listeners anyway, which is a strong logic.
And it is a strong logic, and there's pros and cons. And we're in a position, we can't afford to buy my daughter books. But as a teacher for 20-odd years in a private school, there is a huge misconception that all parents are very well off that send their children. I can tell you that there is plenty of families that I've taught over all those years that they come from working class families and their parents have saved hard and have adjusted their family income because they want to send them. Whether it's right or not, it would be lovely to have this utopian society where everyone is equal. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is. But I tell you, I have taught for 23 years and I have met families. I have met families that are very well off. Of course I have.
Yeah.
But I also tell you that an awful lot of the children that come to these schools are not from extremely well-off families. And I think that's a hard pill for some people to swallow. And it is the truth. They choose not to have the fancy car. They choose not to go on the holidays. They choose not to maybe have an extravagant lifestyle or not. What they choose to put their money into, their income that they're paying tax on, which I am and my husband, is to, they've made a decision. That's one thing. The other thing is, and one of your previous callers alluded to it, the fact that some of these schools are Church of Ireland schools. And so for some of those families who I have taught, some of them live in parts of Ireland where there is no Church of Ireland. Their faith is very, very important to them. And it's also very important that their child goes to school that practice that faith. These people don't necessarily come from well-off families, but what they're doing is they're making a decision. So I just feel, you know, and I have worked in a deaf school. I did my teacher training in a fabulous school in Tala. And I tell you, it's an amazing school. And I, you know, the work that these schools do, and I feel every child should have an equal education. But I just think that Norma Foley has made the wrong decision here. And I do see the argument for, you know, the teacher salaries, why are they being paid? And so there is a conversation there that needs to be had. I 100% agree with that. But that's another day's story. I'm looking at a child. My child was born equal to every other child in Ireland. Why is she now being discriminated from?
Okay.
Discriminate me, but don't discriminate her. The books are for her. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I just think people need to look at two sides of the story. As I said, the last point, it's the child's allowance, Joe. If they're doing that, then let's start means test the child's allowance.
Okay, but you have to accept, Catherine, there is a growing campaign or whatever against private schools. It came
there
like
is. Oh, there is.
It's only, for example, people might not, maybe I'm misremembering, but during COVID, the COVID grants to schools did not go to private schools.
That's right. Yeah, okay. I was aware of that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The government have decided that they're giving free school books to 4 second and third year from the coming September. Now, a lot of the schools, as far as I know, are getting involved in rental schemes. Obviously, you have the numbers, so it's not as expensive or as harrowing as we might think. But they have deliberately and totally and completely and absolutely haven't said it that often, but that they are excluding the private schools, fee paying schools, from that scheme. And they're being excluded, lock, stock and barrel. John in Galway. John, sorry for holding your point, please.
I just find this whole conversation astonishing, to be honest, Joe.
Okay, why?
A number of points, I suppose. Firstly, I'll give you an analogy. I went to a school in Leinster before I moved to Galway.
Yeah.
And it was a non-fee-paying school.
Yeah.
And I played rugby.
Yeah.
And the Leinster Senior Cup, which is a competition mainly made up of 6th-years, some 5th-years, which is the top team in each school, has only been won twice by non-fee-paying schools. In 1983 and 1985, yeah,
what does that mean?
Is that if there's not an advantage in these schools, and I'm not just talking about education, I'm talking about extracurricular activities, and there is an advantage in the likes of Blackrock and Clongowes and Newbridge and, you know, Ross Grey. Of course there is.
What is it? Okay. Well,
I'll give an example.
Tell me what
our
it's got.
Our coach was a teacher.
Okay.
Our coach was a teacher, giving his free time to coach us, and he taught us.
Okay.
You go to Blackrock or something like that, there's a guy employed to train the senior team. Now, not an advantage, if that's not an example. Also, that teacher that was on there was saying that she knows of many people who go to fee-paying schools who scrimp and scrape and don't have the big car and the big holiday.
Hmm.
Why are they doing that if it's not an advantage?
Yeah, but like, who gives
them? Why are they scrimping and scraping to send their kids to private school if it's not an advantage? A lot of these people were born on third base, Joe. And they think we're all equal. We're not, and it's not fair.
Yeah, but
it isn't fair.
I know life isn't fair.
So what we're doing, Joe, is...
Can I ask you another question?
We're making a business out of education, just like we're doing with the health system.
And look at the grind schools, for example.
Yes,
Where are the pupils for the grind schools coming from?
Well, they're coming from schools that probably the class sizes are too big. The parents look at it. They want them to do medicine or something that has a high point situation.
And John,
and they send them to these
John, surely,
schools.
Surely it is a legitimate wish of every parent that their children should do better than they did in life. Primarily to give them a better education than they
I completely
had.
Agree with you.
It's called so.
I completely
so
agree
what
with you.
In the name
but,
of
but,
what has the Senior Cup? Of which
it's got everything to do with it, Joe. That is a great analogy.
Who gives an SH1T?
Just listen to me for a second. There are plenty of players who have gone to non-fee-paying schools who then get sucked into the fee-paying school because they're a very good rugby player.
Oh,
it happens.
They're poached.
Yes, so, like, for instance, we would have played...
For free? They're poached for free?
No, not... Well, I don't know, to be honest
with
you.
Surely that's... But then, John, the problem there is whoever organises Leinster schools rugby.
Absolutely, but let me just say this to you. We would have played Blackrock in pre-season friendlies in school. And we'd get hammered. And you'd arrive with your boots in your bag and you'd see the facilities that place had.
Okay. Yeah.
And if that's not an advantage, of course it is. You know, and you never hear anyone complaining about the price of books of someone from Tala who has a kid going to the comprehensive up the road, defending people, you know, who were in fee-paying schools who are going to be charged for books. Pay for your books. If you go to a fee-paying school, pay the money.
Okay, John, stay there and go with Kate and Tipperary. Answer that. If you're going to a fee-paying school, you pay the money to get in, buy the books. Kate.
Now, I started this because a lot of people didn't know about it. But the situation is, I had the women here today.
Kate, we're now, and I thank you for coming back on.
It's nothing to do with the rugby cup or anything.
It's an hour later. John's point is, and he's articulating what a lot of people
say. There isn't advantages there.
Your family, I'm thinking of your children and your grandchildren in particular, who are, they're not paying for, their parents are, obviously. But your family paid for private education. Well, then go the whole hog and pay for the books.
No, I believe that all the children of the state should be treated equally, and their incomes should be taxed appropriately. And I don't believe that any child should be discriminated against. There should be equality for all children. And it's not through wanting to have them in the upper echelons of society. It's through necessity.
Well, what about
and
John's,
the women that were here
John's
today,
point
necessity.
Is that the Leinster Senior Cup, or whatever it's called, has only been won twice by non-fee-paying schools. What, in the last 50 years, John, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
In its history, as far as I can remember. Well,
it's history.
Well, it's rather like those who are good at music. Those that are good at music will excel. Those that are good at rugby will excel, no matter what. Look at Roy Keane. I mean, you're going to have people like that. They'll excel anyway, no matter which school they go to.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
And these women that were here today, they'd be too delighted to send them to non-fee-paying schools, but they were not available to them.
Okay.
Parents working to try and afford it,
okay,
and actually sacrificing holidays. And one woman was crying going out the door saying they were only living from one month to the next.
Okay.
I'll let you reply after
this very short break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
John, I missed your point at the end. Did you say what I'm sorry for?
I just said my heart breaks for people who are in fee-paying schools.
Yeah, but John, but hang on.
But let me finish, Joe.
Joe,
let me finish for a second, will you? That woman there spoke about all children should be treated equal. We've got kids in this country that are going to school hungry.
Yeah.
Where's the equality there?
Well, DESH schools have...
Hang on.
Now, let's be clear about this, John. If they're going to a DESH school, and I think that's a given, if they are in that situation, there is a hot breakfast when you go into school. Did you know that?
Yeah, but that's a DESH school.
I don't know why individual...
There's plenty of other schools.
But I don't know why individual children... the whole thing about children...
But we need to get away from the argument and this should be a given, Joan. I know you agree with me, but you're the moderator here and you might not be able to. Private schools have an advantage, and they do, and that's just the fact of the matter. Now, did Norma Foley handle this badly? Yes, she did. Because what the emotive argument then can be put forward that, oh, we're discriminating against kids, which is absolute and utter nonsense. If you go to a fee-paying school and that's your choice in life, then you pay the money. That's it.
But I see
that's what happens, and that's what should happen.
I see that there was at least one junior minister in the coalition who opposed what Norma Foley was doing. Chris, your point, please. Chris, you're listening to John and others. Go ahead, Chris.
I think that people are forgetting that we're kind of an international product. And like housing and education are a big deal on menu of choices people
that the IDA offer.
For international families, high earners and people who want to attract to the country. So I think it's a terrible big mistake to fix something that isn't broken. I mean, 92% are non-fee paying, 8% are fee paying. And those schools are required, and that education is required for those families and people who we want to attract to the country.
Hmm. John?
What is it? I don't really understand this point.
One of our selling points in this country, whether you like it or not, is a very, very good education system.
Oh, yeah.
Comparatively.
Well, then it backs up my point. If that's what you're trying to attract to the country, and students of an international bent, and the quality students and people who have money pay, well, then pay for it. That's it. That's capitalism.
They're saying we pay for it. They're saying they pay for it in our income tax.
No, if you want your child to go to a fee paying school, pay for it, and pay for everything. Pay the teacher salaries as well, and don't be expecting a handout from the state. Because that shouldn't happen. Because what's happening is...
Should they get children's allowance?
Yeah, of course they should. Because there's no other way of doing
every,
it. It'd be more expensive to means test that. Now, means testing down the road, no, not everyone should. Maybe I shouldn't have got it. Now, my kids don't go to fee-paying schools. because I chose not to.
Mairead Murphy has contacted us from Indianapolis. Go ahead, Mairead, your quick point, please.
Yeah, Joe, I just wanted to say, you know, Ireland is not Russia. People have the freedom to send their kids where they want to send them. Mm-hmm. There's no dictator at the top saying there's only going to be one type of school. And the other thing, people who are sending their kids to fee-paying schools are paying their taxes. So they're also supporting the public school system. And I wanted to say, Joe, we lived in Ireland, you know, up to 1987. Mm-hmm. Two of our kids went to private schools because for one reason or another, we looked around everywhere. We looked at driving them across the city. We did everything. Mm-hmm. And this was a local school that they could cycle to. You know, so it wasn't an issue. Now, when we were in Ireland, a politician came around one time when the kids were going to school mm-hmm. and lambasted me for sending our kids to a private school. And I said, you know, where do you go on vacation? And he said, to France. I said, we don't go to France. We chose to spend our money. And we had an ancient Peugeot, Joe, that was the joke of the school, I'm sure, with the hole in the floor. Mm-hmm. We were not well off, but we made those sacrifices because having tried every other option, we didn't find anything we were happy with. So I just want to make those points, Joe.
Time of John. Thanks indeed, John of Galway, Mairead Murphy, go to Míle Maith, Joe at RTE.ie continues. Owen McLaughlin produced, Catherine Thomas is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe at rte.ie.